If you have your Bibles, turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. You know, we hear, and I know I've preached very often, and I know you've heard it all your life, the importance of reading our Bible, studying our Bible, the importance of listening to the Lord, making sure that the Lord is leading us. And I want us to look at that again tonight and see just how important it is for us to pay attention to God. And in saying that, you know, sometimes people hear that and say, what do you mean pay attention to God? I haven't heard from God. And that's sad. And I think I'm seeing more and more Christian people, or at least claim to be Christian people, that would confess that they hardly ever hear the voice of the Lord. They hardly ever hear Him speak to their heart. Now, I'm not up here saying the Lord's speaking audibly to me. He never has. But I'm thankful whenever I come to preach that I'm not coming to preach my message. But God has let me know. The way that God lets us know is through a still, small voice. He speaks to our heart. And even that, if you break that down and begin to look at what exactly does that mean, God speaks to our heart. Well, God puts a thought maybe in our heart or on our mind, and we begin to consider that, and you know that that's a thought we have to deal with. And you may try to excuse that as, well, that's just, you know, some random thing going through my mind. But many times you're not able to get away from that thought. And so you begin to look at that thought, and that thought seems to be a burden. And you begin to consider and begin to look at it further and realize, I can't get away from this thought. And God, as you begin to look at it, is God speaking? That God, through portions of His Word, verses that He brings back to our memory, and finally get settled, okay, this is God's Word, I'm going to accept it by faith. And when you accept it by faith, God gives you peace. And a lot of it is just like when we got saved. You know, that God didn't just say audibly, hey, you're lost, you need to get saved. No, He began to tug at your heart. And you were burdened with that. And then you would trust, if you have been lost, that you trusted the Lord because His Word says so. So you looked at God's Word and you confirmed this by God's Word. And then when you put your faith in Christ, He saved you just like He said He would. And there was peace that come along with that. Now, a child of God can do that throughout his life. In all situations, we can look to the Lord, and the Lord will settle us if we will let Him. Now, 2 Samuel 18 and verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. Now, you remember last Sunday we read about Absalom. Absalom was killed. They have just killed him. Verse 19, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore will thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall. And he lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running along. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Nehemiah called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Nehemiah answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came, and Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king. For the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I have died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Now, as we look at this story tonight, both Ahimaaz and Cushai are servants of the king. Both of them have a vocation. And I'm using that word very carefully because I know you understand that as church members, we have a vocation. God has called us all to walk worthy of the vocation in which we're called. Not everybody's a preacher. Not everybody's a teacher. Not everybody is a piano player. Not everybody, you know, does this, that, or the other. But we all have a part. And it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than it is to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And so we should be happy that God has us a vocation. These men have vocations, and they're both similar. Might as well say they're the same. They just... one's a little bit, seemed like more efficient than the other as far as running, and we'll deal with that in just a minute. But both are very capable men, it's obvious. What do you call them? News carriers, primitive postmen. They ran with the news. That was their job, to run like a deer, to run as fast as they could and to get the news back to the king as quickly as possible. And so... whenever I look at these two men, especially Ahimaaz, I want to look at him just a minute. He does not have a message to run with. And Joab tries to explain that to him. You did not see what just took place. You don't know what happened. The king's son is dead. Well, that did not seem, Brother Joab, to faze him at all. Still, I want to run. I'm going to go tell him we won the battle. And I don't know, maybe, Brother Jake, he was not present on the day that David said, do not touch Absalom. Or maybe he just let it go in one ear and out the other, and he didn't never really think twice about Absalom. But I believe anyone that paid attention to David would understand, you better not touch Absalom. But Ahimaaz, he didn't get that part. And so whenever David said, is the young man Absalom saved? That's the only news David wanted to hear. He said, we have victory. David said, well, is Absalom safe? He said, well, I seen a tumult. I just don't know what it was. And so Cushai catches up and he delivers the message and he says, we've got victory. And then David says, what about Absalom? And just basically in so many words, he said, Absalom's dead too. We got the victory in battle, but Absalom did die in the battle. And of course, we know that that was not the news that David wanted. Now, I want us to see this. First of all, he needed a message. Both of these men needed a message to run with. But on the other hand, David sent them with a message. You do not touch Absalom. And he let all his generals know that, and that was to be passed down. Do not touch Absalom, and yet Absalom was killed. So when I look at this man, Ahimaaz, the term spinning your wheels come to mind. He's just spinning his wheels. He's doing all this running, but he's just spinning his wheels. You know, Ahimaaz, he just did what he was programmed to do. I want you to think about that just a minute. That's what he's programmed to do. That's what he's good at. That's what he feels confident in. That's his field. Look, Cushai took off running. He had the message, and he stood there arguing with Joab. And finally, Joab said, "Okay, run." And he took off, and he outran Cushai. Even Cushai had a head start on him. That's what he's confident in. In his mind, he put more urgency on his ability to run than he did the message that he had to deliver. I wonder how often we as God's people are just spinning our wheels in a spiritual sense. Just doing what we do. What we feel familiar with. What we're used to. And not giving a lot of thought to the message from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible is full of messages. You say, "Well, Brother Pratt, you come to preach this one night." I have, and you have prayed. God, send us a message. I trust you have. God sent us a message, and God has done just that. He put a message on my heart, and I'm to bring that message. So that makes me maybe the messenger, and so I've got to be careful, very careful with the message that I bring, that it's God's message. But you think about Scripture. You know, there's a time when God put it on my heart. He had called me to preach. And I didn't want to have to deal with that. It would have been just fine with me, Brother Ryan, if I could have ignored that one. And I tried for a few years. I tried. Just let that pass. But again, it kept on. It was a burden and kept on dealing with it over and over and over until I finally come to a place to surrender with it. But you know, the Bible tells me, he says, "Woe unto you if you don't preach the gospel." That is a message to me. You better make sure that you preach the gospel. You make sure that you do it. But then he goes on, and there's some more that's to that. Brother Matthew said, if you do this thing willingly, there's a reward. But if you do it and you're not doing it willingly, in other words, your heart's not right, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, then there's really a crime against God's word that's committed there. Has to deal with that. And so it's a very humbling thing to stand and preach God's word. Now, what does that have to do with you? Well, God has a message for all of us. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That's God's message, and that's standard for all of us, that we are to seek His kingdom first. He says, "Everything you do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men." That is a message to us. And the Bible is full of messages, and that's something that we need to pay attention to, is God's Word. And as we study God's Word and we pray, God's Holy Spirit begins to move and begins to speak to our heart and convict us on certain things. You need to give this up. You need to quit doing this over here. You need to be doing this. You need to be doing this more efficient. You need to hold off over here. That's God's Holy Spirit, that still, small voice. But many times we just, you know, kind of just doing what we do and doing what we feel familiar with. It's familiar for us to go to church. It would be plumb odd not to go to church. We'd feel like we're committing a crime if we didn't go just about, because that's what we're familiar with. But now when God starts meddling, I heard preachers make that statement one time, it seemed like God meddles sometimes. He starts getting, you know, on our, what some people say, on our toes. But really, He's not pointing at our toes, He's pointing at our heart. That's what He's after. And many times we kind of shake that off. Well, that's just me thinking something. That's just some random thought went through my head. Might want to examine that a little bit further. Might want to pray about that a little bit. Sometimes we're just running, trying to accomplish the miles. Oh, I got to get as many miles as I can get for the Lord. Well, let's make sure we're running where He wants us to run. Let's make sure we have something to run with. What's the message He has for us? Make sure we have it. See, I have a vocation. You have a vocation. We come to church for a message. We pray that God sends the message. We read our Bible. And that still, small voice whispers to us. And by faith, we are to get settled with that. And then we are to put some legs on our faith after that. It is to provoke us to action. Let's move forward. Now we have something to run with. I thought about those fishermen that got on the boat one day with Jesus. You know what the message was to them? Let us go to the other side. That was the message. He didn't have to preach all day, did he? He just let us go to the other side. And Jesus got on the boat and he went to sleep. You ever consider that? Jesus was on the boat. Storm comes up. They let him sleep. Why they let him sleep? You know, if a storm comes up, it's very bad. My mother-in-law will call our house, wake us up. Storm's coming. She used to do it more than she does now. It's real bad. My mama will call. Y'all know there's a storm in your neighborhood. They said tornado. She's going to let me know. Storm come up. They didn't tell Jesus. You know why? Because they were doing what they were familiar with. They were riding in a boat. A ship. That's what they've done all their life. They're used to a little storm coming. They're used to the wind blowing. And so they get there and they know that labor when they realize we're taking on water. We're about to go down. Somebody said, let's go wake Jesus up. They went down there and they said, Master, care us not that we perish. Jesus got up and he said, peace be still. And they all went quiet. That was the message. We're going to the other side, and I'm going to take care of it. But it's amazing the power that's in the message. Message, let us go to the other side. Well, really, there's a part of that. And I know we're human now, but part of it, you couldn't have sunk if you wanted to. He said, we're going to the other side. The other part is when things start getting a little bit rocky, we need to talk to Jesus first, not last. Why wait to all seem lost? Well, they did that because this is our wheelhouse. This is what we're comfortable with. Until they become uncomfortable. You know, the Lord showed me real quick, he can make me so uncomfortable in the things I'm most comfortable with. That's just the Lord being the Lord. He told them again, he told them first. Stepped on the boat and he said, let us cast out into the deep. Let us go out for a draw. Them men had been fishing all night long. They were tired. They were washing their nets. Let's go back out and go fishing again. Master, we have toiled all night. And keep in mind the message. The message is, let's go back out fishing. We have toiled all night. We have not caught anything. Nevertheless, if you say so, I guess we'll go back. You think they was glad they went back? Let us cast on the other side. They couldn't even haul them in. Had to call for the other boats to come help them get the fish up. And then they realized, my goodness, what kind of man Jesus is, and we're not even worthy of being his presence. That's how the Lord works. He can humble us. We realize we're not even worthy of being his presence. I thought I was doing everything. I thought I knew everything there was to know about fishing. We told all night, can't catch a thing. I did not expect to catch anything and went out here and he's done told us to cast on the other side. And when we did, didn't do anything but humble us. We don't know anything. We can't do anything without him. But you know, they could say, we've labored so much and we know the sea and we're experts in our field and there's just no use in going back out, and they would rob themselves of a blessing. And many times that's what we do. We go through the motion. You know, the message we receive from that still small voice inside of us makes all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. The difference between running and running with a purpose. It's the difference filling a gap and filling the gap He wants you to fill. It's the difference between being a hindrance to somebody and being a blessing to somebody. Listening and being settled that this is what the Lord wants me to do. God had a message for Elijah. Elijah, get ye down to the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to sustain thee there. I preached that a while back. That word there, that is so important, because he had not told the ravens to sustain him at the Jordan River. He didn't tell them to sustain him at Abana or Pharpar or some other water hole. He said, get to Cherith, and the ravens will sustain thee there. If he'd have went anywhere else, he'd have probably starved to death. He went there. He got comfortable. We all do. He got comfortable laying by that river. You go hide out, I'm going to take care of you there. He went and got comfortable. Ravens bringing him something to eat in the morning. Ravens bringing him something to eat in the evening. Probably wasn't what he wanted, but they brought him something. Get thirsty, walk down there and get you a little water. Well, that's the life. All of a sudden, that brook began to dry up. The Lord had another message. Brother Joy, he said, get up and get to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And he got up and he went, and God blessed the oil that it never went dry. But if he had not, I'm not so sure. I believe he'd have starved to death if he'd stayed back at Cherith, because that brook had already dried up. But the still small voice of God said, you need to get up and you need to go. There's a time when Israel come up to the promised land. They had wandered in the wilderness, and they had murmured and complained, and the Lord had taken care of them so much. They need water. They just went to the rock. The Lord provided water. They need something to eat. He sent them bread from heaven. They got so used to that, they started complaining about it. The Lord sent them quail. They said, you're going to eat quail till you come out your nose. Complained so much. They got to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Well, Jody, that was a promise that had been preached to them ever since Abraham, some 400 years before they got there. God's going to give you the promised land. They knew it was theirs. And they got there and they let 10 people talk them out of going. You know what the Lord did? He had led them there. He had a message for them. He brought them all the way. And when they got there, they said, we're not going because we're scared to death. He shut the door. He said, you'll never go. The next generation come along and go, but you won't. That's sad. But listen to what the Lord says, because sometimes He'll shut the door and you won't be able to open it then. God has a purpose when He speaks to our heart. We are to, now I don't discourage us. You know, I think about this man running. Boy, he run and got there and he didn't have a reason to run. He missed the message. He didn't understand really what David was looking for, because either he didn't pay attention or it wasn't relayed to him properly. We are to be a zealous people. We are to be a working people. We are to walk worthy of the vocation in which we've been called. Individually, we're to do that, even as we all work together. I know that sounds like it contradicts, but it don't. We work individually, but we all working together for one body. The church is the body of Christ. We all working together. But when the Lord speaks to our heart, we need to do what He has for us to do. And if we don't, we'll be in a hindrance. Now, I thought about I'll close with this. Philip was led by the Holy Spirit to leave a revival going on, to go down to Gaza, which was desert. And he follows the Holy Spirit That's the message. You go down to Gaza. He does exactly what the Lord says, what the Holy Spirit says to him. And as he's going down to Gaza, he looks and across the way there's a chariot going. And the Holy Spirit said, go and join yourself to that chariot. And whenever he received the message, I'm going to leave us with this because this is what we're supposed to do. With the when the Holy Spirit gave him the message, the Bible said he ran and he joined himself to the chariot. And he climbed up in that chariot and he preached Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch got saved and was baptized. Philip received the message. Philip ran to the chariot. Philip did what the Lord said and the Lord blessed. You know it still works that way today. If we will listen to the Holy Spirit, God leads us, He settles us, puts something on our heart, then He settles us. Whenever we trust by faith, He'll settle us. Boy, it works so good. Now, I want to encourage you tonight because that's what the Lord wants, is simply to listen to Him and pay attention to what He has to say. And whenever we do that, God will bless and He will help us. We don't have to worry whether we're doing things right or not. We just know because the Lord said, do it this way. We'll ask for something.